Here are two new ways to stay connected to issues, etc. Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, I'm not going to get involved in those things, what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
I think I finally learned to spot it. When all the Botox rage was on the rise, I couldn't tell whether someone had Botox or not. It was difficult to tell. Maybe I was just looking with a man's eyes, couldn't detect those kind of things. But I think having watched enough television, especially if you watch something like the Oscars last night, you saw a lot of it, a lot of cosmetic surgery, augmentation, supplementation, surgical and otherwise, to make ourselves young and beautiful. I got two great questions for you here in the first hour of Issues, Etc., on this Monday afternoon, March the 8th. Number one, we'll be talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway about this in just a moment. Is cosmetic surgery immoral? I want to hear from you. Here in the first half hour, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest. 1-877-623-MY-IE. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-6943. Or you can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. The other question, coming up in about 20 minutes, there's a Catholic school in Boulder, Colorado, that has kicked out a preschooler because the parents of that preschooler are gay. And the archdiocese says the parents were living outside the bounds of Catholic teaching. They do the same for any other parents of any other kid. What do you think about that? Did they do the right thing? That's our open lines question in the half hour here on Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us at issuesetc. It's Monday afternoon, March the 8th. After our first hour, in the second hour, Dr. Carl Beckwith will join us. The church is remembering on this day 3rd century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas. Then Dr. Charmaine Yost will join us from Americans United for Life. Statements made by Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius on NBC's Meet the Press about abortion and health care reform. She says no federal funding for abortion and health care reform. And, of course, members of her own party disagree. Dr. David Menton will join us to round off the second hour of the program. We're going to talk about research by some anthropologists that was reporting a missing link in the human chain of evolution, they say, was discovered not to be even remotely human in any sense whatsoever. Again, another revision to the timeline for human evolution. We'll talk about that with Dr. David Menton in the last half hour. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about Christians and cosmetic surgery, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a journalist in Washington, D.C., a contributor to GetReligion.org, and she writes the Throwing Inkwells column for Christianity Today magazine. Her latest column is titled, Is Cosmetic Surgery Immoral? Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
It's a question that's difficult to answer. In fact, maybe there's no answer to the question you pose in your article, because after all, people get cosmetic surgery and treatments and things like that for a whole variety of reasons, some of them serious, some of them trivial. So there can really be no answer to the question of its morality, can there?
Well, there can be no one answer, definitely. We see people who get plastic surgery all the time, and we instinctively recognize that there's something quite wrong about, say, a Michael Jackson and what he did to his his face and body. But we certainly wouldn't begrudge any child with a cleft palate having reconstructive surgery. So the issue is, how do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? What questions do we ask to determine what makes it right and what makes it not right?
You say that there is a question that needs to be asked before we can give an answer to the question, is cosmetic surgery immoral? What is that question?
This was said to me by a friend many years ago, and he's a Lutheran pastor, and he said, the Lutheran answer to every question is, why do you want to know? And the example that he gave was talking about abortion. If someone comes to you and asks, is abortion okay? You need to know, are they someone who had an abortion 20 years ago and has, you know, they've never forgiven themselves and they feel horribly, and or are they someone who's contemplating having an abortion next week, or are they someone who's just curious about the matter? It doesn't change the answer so much as changes how you approach the answer with the person. But in this case, too, I think that, you know, there are valid reasons for getting plastic surgery. There are less valid reasons. You know, we can't speak beyond what Scripture says, but we can use Scripture to identify, you know, and our reason to identify whether something's a good reason or not. And, you know, when I started writing this column, I was thinking mostly from my gut reaction that began when I was pretty young, where I would see people getting plastic surgery and I would just think, ugh, that does not seem right. Or you would see the pictures of the people of plastic surgery gone horribly awry. I don't know if you remember the Catwoman, I think they called her in New York City, Jocelyn Waldenstein, I think is how you say her name. And she'd gotten so many plastic surgeries that she actually resembled a cat in her face. And you look at that and you just think, that is repugnant. That is not right. And there is an ethicist, Leon Cass, who says that there is a certain wisdom in repugnance. Like if you look at something and you feel repugnant, you feel repugnance about it. It indicates like an intuitive understanding that something's not right.
Let's talk about the case that is probably more typical, aside from medically necessary cosmetic surgery, elective cosmetic surgery. The typical housewife out there getting a few gray hairs, and she wants some tucks, some augmentation, and maybe some reconstruction, just because she can. Is this a symptom of something else that's going on here in her or in the culture?
Right. Well, I mean, to go back to the cat lady, I think the first thing that set her off on getting plastic surgery was that she caught her husband in bed with a younger man or younger woman, and she thought if she only appeared more attractive, then somehow she could keep her husband. You know, she was right to identify that there was a problem in her marriage, but the prescription that she issued for it was not the right, you know, it's not the right treatment for what was wrong. You know, if you feel like there's something wrong that will be healed by getting plastic surgery, you know, it's possibly true, but also you should be really careful about what it is. Like, if you think your bust line is the problem in your marriage, I highly doubt that, you know. But on the other hand, you know, there are situations. Like, let's say you're someone who's just lost a massive amount of weight and you would like to have a completely elective surgery to take away some of that extra skin to sort of, like, match your skin with your new weight or something. I mean, is that really going to, you know, is that really the most horrible thing you can do? I don't know.
What about our idolatry, if you will, of both youth and beauty?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the underlying issue here, isn't it? The big problem and what you see when you look at the Oscar ceremony, when you look at, you know, all the prevalence of body modification that's going on out there, is that we're really worshiping the body rather than worshiping God. It's about covetousness. It's about, you know, it's sin at its root level. You know, we have these frail, failing bodies. We have, you know, we desire perfection. We're certainly not going to get that here on earth. And, you know, we want more meaning in our lives. We want more fulfillment. And we think if we can just fix this one little thing, you know, everything's going to be all right. But really, that's not how it works. And we're worshiping our bodies rather than worshiping God.
When it goes to the extreme, Molly, and it becomes what is obvious to everyone else, something of an addiction, where it's not even about achieving a certain look anymore. It's about kind of constantly remaking one's self. I mean, the extreme examples you said, Michael Jackson, there are others there. But some seem to kind of verge on it. Heidi Montag most recently is famous for being famous and having 10 elective plastic surgeries in one fell swoop. And someone says, you know, I don't know if she looks that much better than when she started out, but something is wrong there.
Yeah, I didn't actually read the interview. I kind of heard that she had talked about this. It's quite shocking to see her because she looks radically different. And I was thinking, I wonder when it will happen that I become more used to this new person than I am to the old Heidi Montag. And why I even know either of them is shameful, I'm sure. But she'd said something about how she knew God loved her, but she didn't love herself. And so that's why she was getting all these surgeries. And I was thinking, I wonder what's going on there theologically that, you know, she's got this disconnect there that she thinks that changing her body will change the way she feels about herself somehow.
It's Monday afternoon, March the 8th. We're talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway about Christians and cosmetic surgery. I want to know what you think. Is cosmetic surgery immoral? Is it always or only sometimes immoral? Is it simply unwise? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. Twitter your questions or comments to us right here in the studio at IssuesETC. Email as well, talkback@issuesetc.org. And that call-in number again, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. I mentioned earlier in our conversation that for a long time I couldn't see it. I didn't notice it. Now I guess it's so prevalent around us, you can't not notice it. Is there a difference between males and females on this issue? After this.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and bright. And I pity any girl who isn't me tonight. I feel charming.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christians and cosmetic surgery. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. I'm interested in whether you think cosmetic surgery is immoral, or does it fall in that gray area that's less than immoral but probably not the best thing to do. Does it depend on the circumstance? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Twitter us at IssuesETC or send us your email, talkback@IssuesETC.org. I wonder whether there's, at least in your opinion, Molly, a difference between male and female on the repugnance scale here, that maybe women, because this tends to appeal, at least at the beginnings it does, more to women among our celebrated people, whether or not women notice it more and have stronger reactions to it?
Well, I know anecdotally, from anecdotal experience, that women definitely notice it more. And in fact, this happened to us last night while watching the Oscars. I made a comment about someone's plastic surgery, and my husband had no, you know, he didn't see it at all. And I realized, oh, there is a difference in the way that women look at these things and the way that men do. We both thought that the person in question looked great. But I think that, you know, women are trained to care a lot more about personal appearance and beauty, and that also puts more pressure on us to have a certain type of body. And, you know, this is not all bad. I mean, I think beauty can be a virtue, and, you know, it's wonderful that women can, you know, display their beauty and whatnot. But, yeah, it's definitely most of the pressure is on women. But haven't you noticed that when men do the plastic surgery, it just seems that much worse? You know, you see some of these aging stars, and they've got their eye tucks going on, and on the men, it just doesn't seem to look somehow even more unnatural than it does with the women. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, maybe it is a double standard, but we expect men to age gracefully, you know, grow more handsome with age, and then when they kind of violate that unwritten cultural rule, you know, when Kenny Rogers goes from being kind of the silver fox to something that looks kind of like Kenny Rogers, but really has strangely modified his looks, everyone says, you know, he didn't need to do that.
Right, as if the woman did need to do it, but he didn't need to do it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think actually, though, in both cases, it's just this, it's this problem that we have in our whole society where we value youth instead of valuing wisdom and age. And, you know, there are many things to be said for youth. And as I get older, you know, I think fondly of all the energy I had as a young person and all the creativity and whatnot that I had. But there's also quite a bit to be said for what you gain through experiences and through age and through all these things that do add wrinkles to your body. But those wrinkles mean something. They mean that you've raised a family and that you've gone through, you know, problems and you've come out on the other end. And that's a beautiful thing. And I don't know why, you know, Hollywood and certain other enclaves seem to think that that's something to hide away. I mean, it's really a mark of what makes us great people, too.
You mentioned this earlier, but when you noticed that you had friends as a teenager that were getting nose jobs or whatever, talk about the effect of this on our youth.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing how young these things happen, and you'll read stories in the paper occasionally about how some doctors refuse to do plastic surgery on girls younger than 12. And I'm thinking, 12? I mean, really should be a full-fledged adult before some of these things happen. But the idea that you're valued based on your appearance is a really bad message to send to young people, you know, as they're forming their identities. And, you know, if we placed half as much emphasis on, you know, their character and, you know, their sense of humor, their attempts at doing well in school and whatnot, I'm sure we would be doing much better as a society. I wanted to mention, you said that you're going to be marking the commemoration of Saints Perpetua and Felicity later on today.
Yeah.
I almost named my second child Perpetua, which I thought was an awesome name. I really thought it was great. And when I told my mother, she cried.
Did she explain why?
She simply didn't like the name, and she gave me all sorts of, you know, warnings about, you know, how the nickname would be the perp and whatnot. I love the name. I think someone, one of your listeners, should keep that in mind for a wonderful name for a child. And in fact, I might keep it in reserve for future children. But anyway, so I guess you think the name is more beautiful than my mother does.
Well, I don't. I just, maybe it's because I'm not a mother. I don't. And nothing against Mother Ziegler, but I don't see why it would make her cry. Maybe she was feeling a little out of sorts that day. Kathy's calling from St. Charles, Missouri. Kathy, thanks for waiting on the line.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic, especially after the Academy Awards show. And the people did look pretty, even with high def. So we can't all say that. But I think it's something that, you know, should be looked at if you want to care for yourself. But where do you cross the line between caring for yourself and becoming vain? If you're concerned about sun damage and maybe potential skin cancer down the road, I think it's maybe good to look at doing something. I'm not able to do anything, so my wrinkles just get more wrinkly. I do try to put cream on my skin and things like that, but where does it cross the line from self-care into vanity?
Well, Kathy, that's a great question. Thank you, and give the dog a kiss for us, if you would. What do you think, Molly?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that you have to think about when you're trying to decide what makes these things right or what makes them wrong. I mean, people say, well, it's unnatural to get plastic surgery. Well, it's unnatural to shave our armpits or shave our legs, but nobody seems to think that the country is going to ruin when we do these things, right? And then some people say, well, it's about whether it's for, grooming or aesthetics. But again, you know, dyeing one's hair and all these things, this is just about, or if you're doing it for grooming and aesthetics versus like some medical need, you know, you do not need to dye your hair. You don't need to tweeze unwanted facial hair, although I really appreciate it when people do that. And, you know, that totally alters what God gave us, but we don't seem to have a problem with these things. There are things that treat versus enhance, but you don't necessarily need to replace a knee that is ailing, and we don't have a problem when people replace knees or anything like this. So there are all these questions that come into play, and we realize it's not an easy answer. But I think the question is, again, where are your priorities? What are you placing first? What role does God have in this whole thing? Not saying that we can come down one way or another on anything, but certainly we can see that we've gone too far in one direction, and it might be time to pull back a little bit.
I guess one of the things that concerns me about it is not so much the morality, but maybe just and maybe it is a moral issue. In some ways, it's kind of fundamental deceit. A loss for the appreciation of natural beauty or natural handsomeness, depending on the gender. And then looking, say, the other night, my wife and I were watching television, one of the panelists on the marriage ref, we were commenting on just how utterly gorgeous she is. And then I found myself thinking, but I wonder, does she have a really, really good doctor? Or is it real?
Yeah, based on what I've heard from my friends in Hollywood, you can be assured that nothing is real. There, you know, if you see anyone who looks good from the teeth down to the tiniest, portion of skin coverage that you're seeing, there's been major treatment happening there. But of course, that's what we demand of these people. We demand that they look good, or else we don't, patronize them and whatnot. So we can't say it's just their fault when we're the ones fueling this whole industry. But you know, it's a difficult question, again, because is it deceptive to groom your eyebrows so that you don't have a unibrow? I mean, I guess it is, but we don't seem to have a problem with that.
Finally, then, back to the question that you say we really need to ask before we give answers to the morality of cosmetic surgery. Why is it so important that we ask that question? Why are you asking when someone says, should I get cosmetic surgery?
Because it's important, the reasoning that is behind all of our decisions really is important. And there are really bad reasons to do things. There are better reasons to do things. There are good reasons to do things. Again, to take it back to the example of, say, a cleft palate or reconstructing a breast after cancer or something like this. Few people will say that there's anything wrong with fixing these problems. At the other end of the spectrum are the gross violations that you see with Michael Jackson or Joan Rivers or something like that. In between, there's a lot of gray area, and we need to just make sure that we're not worshiping the body and that we are putting God first in all of this.
And we look forward to with the next Hemingway child, perhaps a Perpetua.
Okay, great.
That would be great. I think it's a marvelous name, Molly Ziegler Hemingway. Is a journalist in Washington, D.C. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. She writes the Throwing Inkwells column for Christianity Today magazine. Her latest column is titled, Is Cosmetic Surgery Immoral? We will post a link to both columns under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Molly.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we've got audio open lines and a question for you to answer. There's a Catholic school in Boulder, Colorado, that has decided to expel a preschooler because the preschooler's parents are gay. The diocese says it's simply because the parents were violating the policy that they have for every parent of all their kids, and they do the same in any other case. I want to know, did the Catholic school here in Boulder, Colorado, do the right thing in expelling this preschooler because the parents are gay? If so, why? If you think they did the wrong thing, or perhaps just the imprudent thing, I want to hear from you as well, and why. Our call-in number during audio open lines for the remainder of this first hour of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, March the 8th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us talkback at issuesetc.org. Audio open lines after this.
Are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Indianapolis, Indiana is the place to be April 11th. It's the first annual Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Concert. The event will be headlined by country music legend Randy Travis. Proceeds will benefit the foundation organized and run by Terry's family to protect future patients from being killed. The concert will be almost 5 years to the day when Terry succumbed to starvation and dehydration at the hands of her estranged husband. The world watched as this real-life drama played out in Florida. Since then, I've become close friends with the Schindler family and have seen their pain of losing Terry. And I've seen their passion to prevent other patients from suffering the same fate. Visit lifeissues.org and click on today's broadcast link for more details. Hope to see you there.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.